You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello and welcome to the It's All Cobblers to Me preview show. I'm Danny Brothers and I'm here to welcome the Cobblers back from our third international break of the season. We host Cambridge United at Six Fields on Saturday, and to help us look ahead to the game, please welcome to the preview show from the excellent Under the Abbey Stand podcast, Tom Walker. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, all good, thanks. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
Good. You've had a couple of weeks to stew on your last game. We'll come to that in a minute. But your podcast and the Abbey Stand's FCA nominated again. Is that the second, third year in a row you've been nominated?
Yeah, second year in a row. So they're having us back. Nice. So we'll have to see how it goes.
And this is for best club podcast, is it?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
Club podcast of the year. Yeah, nice. Nice. You're going down for the evening?
Yeah, should be a good one. Obviously chatting before, I'm not sure what our chances are. Public vote against Liverpool and Arsenal and Leeds pod. So yeah, it's a tough one, but yeah, we're looking forward to heading down.
Nice. Is that vote still open or is it closed now?
No, it's closed now. So it's in the hands of the gods, I guess.
Oh, nice. That should be a good night for you all. But how did it get started? How long have you been going for? What kind of made you start a podcast about Cambridge? When was it? What kind of timescales are we talking about with your podcast?
We've been going for about 5 years now, I think. And I think I guess like a lot of lower league clubs, I think it's just the case that, you know, we maybe felt there wasn't the coverage out there of our club in the way that we would like it. So, you know, like pretty much every lower league club, you have sort of a couple of people dedicated to it from like local newspapers and local radio and stuff. But, you know, we kind of felt that the way that the games were spoken about and the way that matters at the club were spoken about, particularly at that time when the club maybe wasn't doing as well as it has been recently, wasn't maybe in the same level of detail that we would like. So we thought, you know, let's just give it a crack ourselves. And, you know, the kind of, you know, I guess the aim of it is just to have a conversation as if you're having one on the way back from a game, you know, or sort of in the pub before or sort of afterwards. And hopefully it's gone okay. It seems like a couple of people tend to enjoy it. A couple of people don't enjoy it. And that's just kind of how it is. But yeah, we enjoy doing it. So that's the main thing, I guess.
Nice. Good stuff. And your own personal support in Cambridge, when are you starting going there? When's your first game at the Abbey, that kind of thing?
That was 2002. So it was against Hull City. My first season ticket was 2004-05 season, which is probably like the bleakest year of our history. Went into administration, finished bottom of the Football League, fell into the conference. So I was hooked. But yeah, I've kept on going back since somehow, for some reason.
No, so you would have been in League 2, Division 3 when you started going?
Yeah, I think it was the first year of like Coca-Cola League 2. Yeah, and then straight out into the conference for ages, and then back, and the rest is history, I guess.
So something's pulled you in from your first couple of seasons, and you've gone down and you've stuck with it. That's admirable. So what was it about? What was it about the going to games at the Abbey and the lower league football? Had you experienced anything different up to that point, or were you of an age where it was just like straight in, you know, I don't care what division they're in, I'm just going to go and watch them and carry on?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, that was pretty much all I knew. Yeah. You know, I obviously started going like a lot of people when I was quite young. So to be honest with you, the sort of main memory I've got of us in the Football League is from since we've come back into it, since 2014. And before that, it was just kind of a handful of games. You don't really kind of grasp the situation or the level of severity of the situation as it was when we fell out in 2005. So yeah, it was just a case that, you know, it was kind of all you knew. And, you know, like a lot of Cambridge fans will probably explain, they're not absolutely sure why they stuck with it, but, you know, things have happened in the last few years that make you glad that you have. But yeah, some of them were tough days, that's for sure. And you know, watching like Hyde come to the Abbey and win, and getting beaten quite comfortably by like Alfreton Town and stuff like that, it does make you question why you're doing it at the time. And when you look back now, and you know, we've played like Sunderland away and Derby away and stuff in like years gone by, you're like, wow, that was really bottom barrel stuff compared to where we could have been. So yeah, thankfully we're back at a decent level now. But yeah, it was a questionable hobby, I think, for quite a few years.
Yeah, you're down there for 9 seasons, which it seems mad now to think about it, but because you've almost come back and established yourself just as well as you were before. But I mean, back then you've had 3 second place finishes, and that, you know, 86 points, 86 points again, 82 points the third time you did it. And it just shows how hard it is to get out of that league, because of, like, if you've got one team that's storming it, you're just stuck there. And if you lose the playoffs, it becomes a lottery after that. So it's such a difficult place to come out of. But you've kind of gone in, come back out the other side. You've spent a lot of time down there, sort of almost 10 years in the wilderness, so to speak. Did you notice any differences when you came back? Because you've gone down in, what, 2005, coming back up in 2014. What did you notice that's different about the Football League at that point? Did you feel more competitive? Where were you at kind of with your comparisons as to when you dropped in?
I guess it's quite a cliche thing to say, but I think like it totally professionalized, I think, between us sort of going out and coming back, like, and even like the really kind of smaller clubs were run and are now run in a way where they have, you know, good players, you know, even at sort of League 2 level, most teams have got a handful of players who could, you know, get into most teams in the division. So I think the standard was better all round, and, you know, it wasn't quite as sort of, you know, as tin pot as it was perhaps when, you know, just before we fell out in 2005. It was, you know, obviously a big step up from what we'd experienced for a number of years in the conference. But I think just for us as a football club, like it just kind of reestablished ourselves back where we kind of believed that we should have been. And, you know, we're obviously in League One now, and, you know, there would be maybe people that might argue that's maybe a step further than where we maybe fit in the kind of football pyramid as it might be. But, you know, there's obviously so much that comes with being back in the Football League. And I think they were the things that we missed that we needed back, you know, even just things like, you know, coverage on like Look East and stuff like that, you know, that just stops when you fall out the Football League. And it's like, you know, the football club is going and it's still playing games every week, but you're not really noticed. There's no recognition, there's no coverage. So you get a bit of that back when you come back into the league. And then it's things like funding and stuff like that. It's just, there's not really kind of, you know, to my mind, like a really obvious way of putting it, other than that it's just a bit more proper than it was before, and certainly more proper than it would have been the conference. But yeah, I mean, if 9 years away doesn't make you appreciate it a little bit more, then nothing will, because that's that's a reality check if ever there was one.
Yeah, and does that almost shape how you're seeing games now in League One when disaster strikes like it did a couple of weeks ago? Does having been there give you a kind of a sense of more, not calm, but a more sort of patience when that sort of thing happens? Or is it do you still kind of feel it as much as you would have done before?
Yeah, it does a bit. I mean, I'll be honest, there's no consolation of what happened to us at Peterborough. There's nothing you can go back and go, oh, well, it was because that felt like absolute rock bottom, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, for sure, you know, like when, you know, I think we're like sort of around mid-table in League One, and, you know, I'd like to think, you know, with certain other teams in the league maybe having difficulties with points deductions and stuff like that, we'd like to think we're in a position where we can stay up again, which is fundamentally our aim. And, you know, I don't really think we've got a fan base that I think can realistically we can kind of push on any further than that, or would push on any further than that, or should expect to push on further than that. So, but when you go for like a few games without a win, for sure, like there's a realization from I think a lot of the fan base who were there and sort of, you know, watched it throughout those years that like actually being 15th in League One's not as bad as it could be and not as bad as it has been. And I think probably more so than like results on the pitch, it's just the way that the club's run now, because you know there was plenty of time sort of mid 2000s, early 2010s, where like even like the short term survival of the football club was really at risk, and certainly like the long term sort of prospects for it were just not there. And now they are, like you've got an owner who cares about the club, like we've got the stadium back, which is or repurchased the stadium, which is a huge thing. Hopefully that's going to be redeveloped in sort of years to come. And you know, that's the sort of stuff that makes you think, well, we're actually quite lucky here, maybe, rather than like the level we're playing at, the teams that we're playing with. Because I think as a fan base, we can accept, you know, poor football. Like we're Cambridge United fans, we're not expecting sort of success every week. But I think to have a club which is, I guess, in theory, upwardly mobile is something that, you know, we couldn't have really dreamed of like a decade ago or 11 years ago or so, when we were sort of entering our final season in the conference, because there are plenty of times where it's pretty different from that. So that's what kind of makes you think back to those days and think, well, we've actually come quite a long way here. And that's what kind of, you know, I guess it can be a bit of a consolation in certain moments, but yeah, for what happened a couple of weeks ago, there's...
you're never not going to feel it, are you? No. So we definitely missed our trips to the Abbey. I've got such fond memories of trekking across the Caulfields to the Abbey Stadium, and to be without it for all those years, it felt wrong not to have it on the calendar. So we're happy to be back in the same league as you again. Anything that you remember about the Cobblers specifically? Any games over the years that you've been to against us that stick out?
I think our first season back in the Football League was, there was obviously, well, from our side, I guess, a couple of good ones. I think we beat you guys at the Abbey on a Friday night. And then we came to Sixfields and won. Which was a result that, I mean, we weren't realistically any danger, I think, when you look back, of actually going down in our first season back. But that was when I was like, okay, right, it's safe now. We're good to say. I think that was like start of April sort of time that year.
Yeah.
So they'll be the main ones. And, you know, since then we've had a couple of horror shows at Sixfields, which haven't been that pleasant. And a couple of decent wins at the Abbey. So they've been pretty well contested, to be fair. And I think they're always, you know, decent local games. There's obviously a common hatred of the enemy there, so that's always fun. But yeah, I think our record at Sixfields is okay-ish, other than a couple of sort of recent visits. But they're normally pretty good games, I think.
Yeah, definitely. That one you were talking about, Harrison Dunk scored in the first minute. The one that you were when you were first back in the Football League. I think you had Chris Dunning goal then, by the looks of it as well.
Yeah, and, we did. Yeah.
Still had Sully Kai Kai there. And Robbie Simpson was coming off the bench as well, which is mad. We had him on trial a few years ago and it was just horrendous. Obviously lost his touch from where he was. Some of my sort of favourite memories of Cambridge, we had a 3-3 once. I think it was just before you would have started supporting Cambridge, and we'd come there and got 3-3 draw, and Armand One scored a couple for you, and then he came to us afterwards. What a player. But that might have been just before your time. But like you say, you had competitive games throughout the year. All throughout, there's never really been any standouts where a team's won 5 or 6 nil. Sorry, to mention that.
That's good. That's reassuring.
Yeah,
maybe we'll do one.
Yeah, exactly. Come on to last season then, battling relegation for most of the season, going into the final game, needing to beat Forest Green, who were rock bottom, completely gone by that point. But then also for two results to go for you, you needed MK to drop points and Morecambe to drop points at the same time, both to go through for you. You've done your job beating Forest Green. The other two results then go for you as well. How unexpected was it, but how good was that feeling to go from... I'd imagine going into the game, you're thinking, you know, this is all but done. How good was it to come out the other side and feel like almost a miracle had happened?
Yeah, well, I mean, the few days leading up to that were like, it was just like a roller coaster of emotions. We played Accrington away on a Saturday. We beat them, and that relegated Accrington, and it put everything in our own hands, because we also had a game in hand on the other two teams on the Wednesday night away at Burton. So we went there on the Wednesday and we were like, right, just win your last two games, just stay up. It's all in your own hands. You know what you got to do. The job's really clear. Burton had nothing to play for. I think they ended up finishing like 18th as well. So they weren't like a spectacular side. But obviously, as we do, we go there and lose, which is just depression, like personified. It was absolutely, absolutely soul destroyed. And then you like, we've just got it back. We had like, I think we spent like months in the relegation zone. We lost games hand over fist, and like we just got it back to being in our hands. And then it felt like we'd thrown it all away. And you know, as you say, you know, we're playing Forest Green at home. I don't think realistically we had any real doubt that we were going to do our job. You know, with respect to Forest Green, they, it wasn't a challenge that I think we're that worried about. We had a really good end to the season, to be fair. So I think we were confident on our own merits that we'd win that game. And then the opposition obviously helps with that. It's just like the crushing like knowledge that you can do everything on your part well, and even like one of the games could go in your favour, but you're just waiting for like an MK goal to go in or a Morecambe goal to go in or something just to like take it away from you at the last minute. And obviously Morecambe's game was kind of out of sight by the end of it, but MK's was 0-0, and they had like a, I think they had like 30 shots or something during the game. And like, you can see it coming in on the, you know, like the live score things, and you can see like the pitch maps of like shot, 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 corner, corner, corner. And it was just so our game finished. Then there was about 5 minutes of that one still to go. So we were just like waiting like what's going to happen, like final whistle. And obviously thankfully it goes, and it's just like, yeah, obviously mass celebrations, I guess it always is. But looking back on it, obviously with it kind of in our rear view mirror, it's obviously the best way that you can stay up. It's like the best, like, you know, just total like elation. But I mean, at the time it was pretty, pretty grim viewing. It was like pretty horrendous to watch through. But yeah, thankfully we got it in the end, and hopefully no more of that again this season, because I think one of them's enough for anyone in a lifetime, to be honest.
Definitely. Well, you did a good job in relegating MK, so that's one thing. We can thank you for that, at least. How did you, as a fan base and the club, approach this season and expectation-wise after that? If you've come so close to going down after all the emotions of that last day, you've kind of got a little bit of momentum almost at the end of last season as well. But in the fans' heads, did you kind of have to tamper the expectations, like it's going to be a struggle again, or did you expect your club to kick on again this season?
I think our expectations in each of the 3 years that we've been in this league have been identical, and it's just to stay up. And fundamentally, that's what it is. Like, our budget is, I think, the lowest this season. There might be maybe one below us, but you know, we've obviously lost Morecambe and Accrington. So without those two teams or two clubs, we're a long, long way down that list of basically resource. So we know that we're essentially overperforming to stay in the division, or we're going to have to, you know, to finish even just 20th. So I don't think that expectation ever changed, but it was more of an approach of like, we kind of got away with one a little bit last season. Like, we stay up on our own merit, right? Because there's four teams that were worse than us over the course of the season. That's clearly how it's all decided. So I think it's a little bit revisionist to say we were like lucky to stay up or anything like that. But clearly, like, you don't want to leave it that late again. And I think what we saw was that the team that got us promoted did really well in our first season back, and then to go further than that was just a bit of a stretch too far. So we kind of had a bit of a transitional summer, really, where a lot of footballers who had played for us for a couple of seasons or got us promoted from League Two left the club. Then it was just a case of replacing them with, again, with respect, probably better players, like just professional footballers in every sense of the word, guys that have, you know, had good careers and had more experience at this level and in some instances the one above. So I think that was the kind of task. We've done it well. Like, I think there's plenty of players in there who are like good enough. There's been iffy moments within this season, but if you look at it as a whole, we're kind of doing exactly how he'd want us to be doing, which is just kind of, you know, we're unlikely to be troubling the top parts of the division and probably even the top half. But if we can keep sort of the bottom four at arm's length, then that's a good season for us, I think, realistically. So the expectation from the fan base hasn't changed at all, but I think the approach has just been a bit more like, you know, kind of head screwed on. Like, we know that there's a bit more that we need to do on our side to make it comfortable. And particularly when, you know, you lose a couple of teams like Morecambe and Accrington, who, you know, you would feel comfortable finishing above because of obvious reasons like budget and resource and stuff. When you lose those teams, it's like, well, like, who are we going to finish above now? Obviously, thankfully is a strange way to look at it. But, you know, you look at Reading's situation, for example, there's one that you'd like to think you can stay above. And Wigan obviously had their points deductions. Hopefully that gives a bit of an impetus. And maybe there might be one or two others who sort of drop in there as well. So, yeah, I think expectation is still that staying up is a good season. But, yeah, there's obviously still a long way to go. And we've got a lot to do to right the wrongs of a couple of weeks ago, to be honest with you. I think before fans are happy merely with just staying up. But, yeah, here we are.
Mm. Then did that change at all after the first sort of 4 or 6 weeks? You've won four of your first six games. You're looking good at the start of September. Was there any part of you that was thinking, you know, oh, we might be onto something here with these first few weeks? Because you've got some really good results early on. You've beaten Oxford, gone to Fleetwood and won. You beat Bristol Rovers, beaten Reading. Was there part of you that saw something in that those performances that made you think, you know, maybe it might be a much better year than we even expected?
I think a little bit, like a little bit more than there could have been in years gone by. Because we started last season really well as well, and went top very briefly away at Pompey. It was only like 20 minutes or something. We ended up losing the game 4-1, so it was short-lived to say the least. But I think the thing that always tempered it more in the last couple of years, if we had a good run and found ourselves in a position we didn't expect to be in, was just the nature of the other clubs that were in the division. So it was always like Sunderland, Sheffield Wednesday, Ipswich. And you're like, okay, like we're doing well in August, but come even like mid-September time, those teams are going to have caught up and they're going to click into gear and the kind of natural order will kind of be restored a little bit. This season, like there's still that a bit, but I don't think there's like... maybe you look like Bolton and maybe Pompey, but you don't feel there's like a real clear kind of hierarchy in this division. There's maybe there has been in other years. It was always like a division of two divisions, if you like. Mm-hmm. I don't really think that's the case. So, I think that a good run went on long enough that people maybe did start to think, you know what, maybe there is room for a Cambridge to kind of crash the party a little bit. But again, like all of that was totally tempered by quite, I think, a realistic sense of where we expect to be in this division. So, yeah, I don't think we ever got too carried away with it. I think we were happy, if anything, to have got such a big chunk of our, you know, the points that we're going to need out of the way so early on. I don't think we ever thought it could materialise into anything more than that. But you know what? When you're top of the league and you're going away to Leyton Orient, sold out away end and all that sort of stuff, like you have to enjoy it because it doesn't come around very often. So whether it's in August or in April, I think it's always something that you can't help but just keep looking at the league table a little bit. But I don't think we were sort of expecting bus parades in May or anything like that. But it was certainly good to see us start well, particularly after such a poor season, you know, the year before, because we were like, how's this going to go? Is it just going to be like you get away with one season, then straight back down the season after? But it was good to have just a bit more reassurance that maybe we can be a slightly better team, to be fair, more than anything, I think.
Mm. Yeah, certainly one win since the 4th of December, 4th of September, home win against Carlisle, but a lot of draws, a lot of defeats in there. Is anything specifically changed since then, or was it just a case of the teams that you've been playing? Has any performances dripped off? Anything changed from those first 4, 5, 6 games noticeably?
I think our approach to games has basically remained the same. And that has been, I think, in part why results have dipped off a little bit. We played in just a really, really obvious way, I think, which is, you know, everything is built around having a solid defence and that shows with the amount of clean sheets we've kept this season. And I think particularly better teams, like it's not the hardest system to play against. Like if we go behind, we find it really difficult to get back into games. I think there was a stat going around a couple of weeks ago that I think we'd gone behind since we've been back in League One like 30 something times and only got anything out of 3 of them. So it shows that like the way we're playing is very, very well set up to games where, you know, we can keep teams at bay and we can kind of maybe get ourselves ahead in games. But when it's like chasing games, it's quite difficult. So that's kind of where maybe there's been a bit more of a difficulty where, you know, you could argue we've been found out to some extent of sort of the best ways to play against us. But I think if you look at it overall, I think the main difference from last season and the main thing that's been, you know, mostly quite reassuring is that, you know, we always talk about on our pod of just like we've had this ability just to turn zeros into ones, I think, a little bit more than maybe we had in other years. So like, you know, we followed up losing away at Cheltenham with a really good point against Portsmouth, for example, kept a clean sheet there. And it was one of those where it's like, we're not expecting to win the game, but we take something out of it. If you can't win it, don't lose it. And we've, you know, had a few more of them in there. It's like go away to Derby and get a point, like this sort of thing. A game against, I think it was against Port Vale, where we managed to nick a relatively late equaliser. And it's just these sorts of things where over a season, like these sort of zeros into ones, they can turn into hopefully a more comfortable end to the year. But I think in terms of the results this season, I think particularly in terms of victories, I think we found it harder because, yeah, if we're behind in games, our system is one that makes it quite difficult to go out and chase a game. But I think, you know, you look at it overall and you have to be kind of quite happy, I think, ish, you know, with sort of how things have gone.
Now, it's going to take a quick break. We'll come back after the break and start talking about something that may not have made you too happy-ish. After that, we'll see you after the break.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. We're still here with Tom from Under the Abbey Stand podcast. Tom, we've got to do it. I listened to your podcast from last week, reflecting on this game, and it did feel like an hour of therapy that you all needed. And believe you me, we would have needed exactly the same sort of therapy if it happened to us as well. That blue lot from down the road, as we'll both call them, 5-0 defeat last time out. I'm not really sure where to start with it, but I feel how that must feel as a Cobblers fan. I can feel, and all Cobblers fans listening will know how this feels like, because we've been battered by them quite a few times as well. But from listening to your pod, from reading the forums and everything, it felt like it was one of the worst feelings as a Cambridge fan you've could have possibly gone through and you've ever gone through. Is that a roundabout right?
Yeah, I think so. It's just like lowest of the low ebb, really. It was just the way that the game was just so quickly and so ruthlessly just taken away from us. Like we started the game pretty well. I think, you know, for about half an hour we did what we expected. You know, we set up pretty deep and contained them for the most part, but we gave away a really soft goal, sort of just around half an hour, and then within about 7 minutes, they were 3-0 up, and it's just like you're going into halftime somehow 3-0 down, and you know that the game's gone from you, and you know you kind of just want a reaction. Like you just want, you know, it sounds a bit childish almost, but you just want to see your players like kicking someone almost. Yeah. Like you want to, you know, we didn't have any bookings on the afternoon, for example. You just want to see a bit of fight, and we didn't see any of that, which kind of made it a bit worse, to be honest. And yeah, like if you take all context out of it of the fixture and who the opposition is, you know, you look at it and you say it's one of the best attacking teams in the division, taking apart a team who had struggled of late, and these things can happen. But, you know, context is kind of everything in football, and particularly on a fixture like that. And, we were off it, and we were just exploited so ruthlessly by, you know, with credit to them, like a really decent attacking team. But, yeah, to be stood in that way and for a bit, because did not want to be hanging around to see the total devastation. But you know, for what we saw and what we were there for, it was humiliating, I think is probably the best way to put it. And it's one of those where, you know, sometimes you see like a big scoreline and you're like, well, how did the game actually go? Did it actually pan out like this? Like the scoreline just tells the entire story. It's kind of hard to analyze it beyond what it was, which was just a total shafting, really, I think.
Mm. Yeah, because you can go into derbies like say against Peterborough, we'll be in the same boat. We'll come up against Peterborough quite a lot of times over the last few years, where we know quality wise they're going to outdo us for the majority of the time. Their budget, what they do is a lot better. They've got so much better quality players than us most of the time. But the thing that you do want is fight and aggression and showing some sort of passion for the derby. And for me to see that scoreline and to listen to everything that's gone on last week with you, it seemed odd, given that Mark Bonner's a Cambridge fan, that your team went out there and didn't like lay a glove on them. What was it, something like 5 fouls all afternoon? Like you say, you need some sort of something in there to stop the play and some sort of passion from the stand when you've got like almost 2,000 fans going there, and you desperately want to see at least the performance against that lot. Like, was it weird to you as well, given Mark Bonner's connections to the club?
Yeah, it was.
They didn't go out like that.
I think the stranger thing was just like the contrast of the games against them last season. Like, we lost at London Road pretty narrowly, 1-0. We scored an own goal, like a really just freak goal. So there was very little between the two sides at London Road, and then we beat them at the Abbey. And like in both circumstances, like, we just played the occasion so well. Like, because we're never going to go there and beat them man to man. So you've got to beat them in emotion. You've got to beat them in terms of like your determination to win the game. And that's kind of what we did really well last season. So to see that just totally like role reversal was, you know, it was a bit strange. And that was the one thing before the game that we were going into as a podcast. We discussed it in our own preview show of that game. We said, like, if there's one thing that gives you a bit of confidence going into what is objectively a difficult away game, it's that there's a guy in the dugout who can get these players up for it. We've seen how well we played the derbies last season, and that just wasn't what happened. It was just a bit of a shell shock, really. Like, it was just from pretty much every angle, whether you talk about it just in terms of like the footballing context of how the game, you know, suddenly swung from being quite even and quite cagey to them just absolutely running riot. Or, you know, you talk about it in terms of like the kind of contrast in derby performances this season to last, or you talk about it in terms of the way that the atmosphere swung in the ground and these sorts of things. It was just a mental 7 minutes as it started, and then obviously a second half which wasn't much better. So it was strange and quite worrying, to be honest, to have seen a performance like that, which just lacked anything really to give you any encouragement. You know, at least if you lose a game in that fashion, but you win the second half or something, or just anything that you can take out of it to go, well, at least we showed a bit of character at the end, but there just wasn't anything. So yeah, that was the most worrying thing. And like you say, it was a bit of a surprise, to be honest.
Mm. Oh, well, we won't dwell on it too long. I don't think either of us want to talk about it too much longer, to be honest. We don't want to talk about it.
I've done plenty of it, honestly. We've had 2 weeks to dwell on
it. Yeah. What are those 2 weeks have been like for you? Like, would you prefer to have a game on Tuesday night just to get rid of it, just get rid of that game and just like forget about it, even if it's in the whatever it's called trophy, and just put the cobwebs out?
To be honest, like, no. Like, after the game, like, I just wanted to the international break was the best thing. We were also due to play Bolton, so that would have been like one of like the worst fixtures to follow up with. Then you've got like the title favourites, you know. It could have been an absolute bloodbath. But I feel like from like a player's perspective, I guess they would have quite liked to have just had something coming up straight away to just kind of play themselves out of what had happened and just have an opportunity to respond straight away and just kind of bounce back, which we have typically done quite well under Mark Bonner, to be fair. I won't claim to speak for the fan base. I'm sure there's a lot of fans that would have liked a game straight away just to not dwell on it for too long. But for me, it was just like, when you see something like that, you just don't want to think about anything related to the football club for a little while. So 2 weeks is probably about the sweet spot, because now we've just spent like the last few days just like thinking about nothing else. If I'm perfectly honest with you, Northampton away is probably not the game I would have wanted either. it'd be nice just to have like Fleetwood at home or something. So even if you do lose it, like, you don't have to suffer everything that comes along with it then. But
is that something to do with us being a promoted team as well, that you don't, it's a kind of awkward game in terms of expectation wise from a casual perspective?
I don't really think it's anything to do with like where Northampton are and where you've come from. I think it's more just, it's probably the only game, maybe like Stevenage, I guess there might have been a bit in it. It's the only game of any sort of real spice to it. It's the only other game other than Posh where there's something, you know, something like, that even compares to a local derby. And obviously it is relatively local, and obviously they have always naturally been, you know, well-contested affairs. But, you know, having seen what we saw at Posh, like, it just kind of fills you with dread a little bit. You know, we've seen a team absolutely wilt under that sort of pressure. Obviously it's not quite going to be as magnified as that, I wouldn't have thought, but yeah, I think you would ideally like one that's not such a obvious banana skin. And I think, you know, if you talk about the game, I think how we start is going to be absolutely crucial, because I think if Northampton get a goal early doors, it could be similar, genuinely. So that's why there's maybe a little bit of trepidation going into it. But I think in terms of like a footballing contest, I think it'll be a lot more even, or it should be more even, which obviously gives us confidence. But yeah, I think it's just an awkward fixture to have.
So what's your player's reaction likely to be? You said you've come through situations like this before, heavy defeats. How do you generally kind of react to it in terms of a team?
We've normally reacted okay. I think the difficulty I've got in predicting this one is that in the times since we've been back in League One where we have had these sorts of results, like we went to Sheffield Wednesday, got beat 6-0, and they beat us 5-0 the season after, and Sunderland absolutely hammered us at the stadium alight. Like, they're results that you don't think about too much because you're just like, it's Sheffield Wednesday. Of course they're going to beat you, and of course they're going to beat you quite comfortably. Mm-hmm. So there's not really too much thought other than just like, okay, what's the next game? Just move on to the next one. Whereas obviously clearly there's so much more that comes with a result like that against a team like that, against a rival like that. So it's difficult to know exactly how we'll bounce back to it. We have typically been pretty good, to be honest. I think, we've normally been okay at coming back from really disappointing results. Like I mentioned just a few moments ago about we went away to Cheltenham and lost. It was their first win. It was only the second goal they'd scored all season.
Yeah.
And we followed that up immediately by getting a decent point against the league leaders in Portsmouth, unbeaten league leaders. So that's an example of how we can bounce back. But I think we've just got to show something. We've just got to show like a really kind of professional performance, really. It doesn't have to be like overly like committed. Like we're not asking for all out war. Like, I think they missed their opportunity for that, to be honest. So you just want to see kind of a really kind of calm, assured performance and just kind of something that can show a bit of what we were missing at Posh, but also just kind of reassure the fans that there's a team in there that does have the ability and can hold it together in slightly more difficult situations, I think.
Nice. So what's team news looking like? What can we expect tactically from you on Saturday?
I think... And again, this is the thing that's kind of quite difficult to analyse, is just in that you do wonder whether or not there's going to be kind of a big change away from what had happened at Posh. I think in all honesty, it's likely to look fairly similar in terms of the lineup and in terms of the personnel. Like, we should have a couple more back. So Sully Kaikai had to go off quite quickly with something, some sort of personal reason. I'm not sure what it was. Very shortly before the Posh game kicked off, he then went away on international duty. He's now back.
He played, didn't he, in the break? Did he play for his country?
He played for Sierra Leone. Yeah, so he'll be back. He's obviously a decent player at this level. Gas and Ahab may should be back in contention. He's a player that I think we've missed just in terms of the structure of the team. But I think tactically, to be honest with you, I kind of expect it to look very similar to how it has done it in a lot of games this season, which fundamentally will build from the back. We'll try and keep things tight, keep it assured. And I think as long as the scoreline is Northampton 0 and then Cambridge something else, I think that's going to be like the main focus, to be honest with you, which is probably fair enough. Like, if you get absolutely hammered 5-0, you know, your first reaction is going to be shut up shop. And that has typically been Mark Bonner's response to these things. So I think I think that's how it will look. Probably be some variation of 4-2-3-1, 4-1-4-1, something like that. I'm not sure exactly what personnel it will be. I'm not sure if there'll be certain players that might have a rest, shall we say, and others might get an opportunity. But I'd like to think that there'll be a bit more kind of backbone in the performance than maybe we've seen in our last game.
So it's likely to be quite sort of straight, men behind the ball for a little bit, trying to catch us on the break kind of situation, trying to keep it tight. If we did score the first goal, does that change your tactics a little bit? Or I know you mentioned earlier that you struggle when you go behind, but would that typically change your approach?
Well, I mean, it should do. The difficulty has been that we've found it so hard to implement any change having gone behind, and that's why the stats are so stark, that in the games that we've conceded the first goal in or games that we've gone behind in, we typically haven't got anything out of them. So it sounds like a really obvious cliche thing to say about a football match because it's so obvious, but the first goal on Saturday I think is crucial. I think if we get it, then typically we've shown we're pretty good at kind of sitting in and making it difficult and making it awkward and turning it into a bit of a bore fest, to be honest with you, where we'll just sit two banks of four behind the ball or certainly one bank of four and kind of back ourselves with our structure and shape and organisation to kind of go on and win the game or get something out of it. But if we go behind, we've shown that we've routinely struggled to get back into these games. So I think if there's been one criticism of Mark Bonner that's come up in the last few weeks, last few months, it has been just in this kind of seeming inability to actually change things, and actually implement a plan B, if you like. So if I'm really honest with you, I can't tell you how we'll react if we go a goal behind, because I've not seen much to suggest that anything would change. But I would like to think that having had 2 weeks to work on it, plan A would be a bit more effective than it was in our last fixture, to be honest, not to worry too much about plan B. But we'll have to see how that goes.
Who's going
to
be the danger man? Who should be wary of from your point of view for Saturday? You know, you said Kaikai's coming back. Is he one of the danger men? Is there anyone else who's going to be stand out for you? Going to be their main danger?
I think Kaikai struggled to really kind of stamp his mark down. Like, he's showing in flashes the player that we know he is. He's a, mm-hmm. you know, a tricky winger at this level. I'm not sure I'd pinpoint him as a danger man, someone that should necessarily keep Northampton fans up at night. I guess an obvious one is probably Fajiri Okunabire. He's a goal scorer at this level. I'm not sure if he'll start the game if Gaston Habme is available, because his availability has been questionable. He spent a lot of time out injured, so I don't know if he would start the game. If he's on the pitch, he is a goal threat, and obviously they're not super common at this level, not super common for teams of our resource. So that's obviously someone to look out for. I'd like to think George Thomas as well can show a bit more of what he's about. He's had a quiet few months, but in the first handful of games of this season, he was probably one of the best midfielders in the division. He's playing in a slightly deeper role than he's been used to, but he settled into it really, really well. We've not seen that too much of late, but he's one of those that has the quality to kind of run the game a little bit. So that's someone that could, you know, potentially have a big influence on the outcome. I guess, to be honest with you, though, I think the two men that probably are the danger men that maybe shouldn't be the danger men are Michael Morrison and Ryan Bennett, because, you know, if we are a goal up or the scores are level, like, they're the two that are going to pose you the most problems, to be honest. And that's going to be a fact of, can you get past them? A lot of teams haven't. Some have quite emphatically. But I think if you take like 10 games, they're probably going to be quite comfortable in probably 4 or 5 of them, I think. And that's a real asset at this level. So that's probably, I think, going to be Northampton's biggest challenge, is breaking them two down.
Nice. Let's hope we can get an early one in there. But it sounded like it might be quite a tight afternoon, which might change my prediction a little bit. I think I'd gone for a bit of a high scorer, but I might change that in a minute. But we'll come on to that in a second. We ask this to every guest before we do predictions. If you were in the Cobblers dressing room on Saturday, what would you be saying to the Cobblers in terms of how to beat you and how to break you down? What would be the best approach for us?
Get us out wide, 100%. If you try and go through the middle, you will just run into a wall, I think. So our fullbacks, I think they have ability at this level to be a good pair of fullbacks, and Liam Bennett on the right and Danny Andrew on the left. But the difficulty really has come in the protection that they're getting. If it's Kaikai or someone else out on the left, he's not getting it. Danny Andrew's not getting the protection, sorry, and whoever's playing ahead of Liam Bennett. Normally it's James Brophy, but Bennett has struggled a bit, particularly with his stature. He's not like the biggest guy, so he has been targeted quite a lot by teams. So I think a lot of the goals we've conceded of late, I think at least 3 of them at Posh came from out wide, and a couple of goals where Burton came from out wide, and it was just the same one. It's just a winger beating the fullback to the byline, getting the ball in the box. And you know, if you do that a few times, you can get on the end of one, and I think that's probably the best way of hurting us, to be honest. But I think the thing that we would struggle with most would be if there's a really, really quick start from Northampton. And you know, a lot of this is just kind of old-fashioned cliche stuff, but I think it really does apply. You know, we've lost our last game 5-0. Players are on the floor. Fans will be ready, I think, to get on the players' backs. You know, we're not an impatient fan base, but you know, having seen what we've just seen, you know, clearly patience is wearing out a little bit. So if we're a goal behind or a couple of goals behind, then that's you know, obviously the best situation for you guys to be in. But I think of the first 15-20 minutes, like you know, we're sort of pressed and it's made really difficult for us, and I could definitely see it turning into an unpleasant afternoon for us, and probably quite a pleasant afternoon for yourselves. So that's probably it. Get us out wide, get us early, and make it difficult for us.
There you go. You got a fair whack coming. You almost sold out, aren't you, ticket wise?
Yeah, I think so. There's obviously a couple of days left, and we've got a slightly bigger allocation than we normally do. So mm-hmm. I think they'll probably just about all go, which is remarkable, frankly, that people want to put themselves through it again. But I guess that's the way it is. And yeah, I'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah, it should be a cracking atmosphere as ever against you lot. So, and it makes such a difference to have games like this in League One, and to have local games back again. Let's have predictions then for Saturday. What would you be happy with, but what are you predicting as a final score for this one?
You know what? Like, I think if I'm being really honest, like, I just want to see a reaction, and I'm not exactly sure how I'd want that to look or sort of what it would look like. Whether it's a reaction in terms of just like getting a result over the line, regardless of performance, or whether it's, you know what, actually, even if we do lose the game, there's been a real performance there and something that you can take from it just to kind of hold on to a bit of hope with, I think. I think the imperative thing for us is, first of all, keeping a clean sheet. You know, to have such a good defensive record in games like this, I think is something that we should be, looking to do. And again, like, I can't emphasize enough that from my own perspective, they've had 2 weeks to work on this, and this is a really important game for us, just not just because it's Northampton away, and obviously there's a bit of a added spice of sort of locality of it, but just because of the context of what happened before. Like, it's really important that we're resolute and can kind of stand up to whatever's thrown at us. So I think a clean sheet is really important, and I think fundamentally as a fan base, or certainly from my own perspective, I think that the way that you get people back on side after a really difficult afternoon at your main rivals is going and by beating the second rivals in their own backyard. So if we can do that, if we can keep a clean sheet and maybe get Nickel on the break, then that makes for a good afternoon. I'll predict a 0-0, because that tends to be how these games go after a big defeat. But yeah, I'd like to think that there's maybe a bit more in it for us as well.
I was going to go 2-2, but after what you've been saying, it might be a little bit lower scoring than that. So I think I'll go for 1-0 Cobblers win, just to nick one early on, and then see if we can hold on to it. But it sounded like it. I mean, we're probably not selling it too well to the average listener, but it should be a cracking atmosphere. It should be good to get back at Six Fields again. We've got three home games coming up on consecutive Saturdays, so the first of them coming up, so really all to play for, and should be a good one. But Tom, thanks so much for joining us today, this week.
Yeah,
anything
yeah, no problem at all. Thanks very much.
No worries. Plug your podcast before you go. Where can we find it?
At Abbey Stamford on Twitter. And yeah, if you want to go back and listen to the Posh episode quickly, then that might, well, actually probably not for Northampton fans, probably the last thing I want to hear. But no. it's three men, just therapy, like you said earlier.
Yeah, you got it out of your system now, don't you? So you can forget about it now.
Yeah, just about.
It's all gone. Yeah, and all the best for the FCAs coming up as well. Really, really hope you bring it home in that. So yeah, have a great night, and all the best for the season as well.
Yeah, we'll do. Appreciate that, mate.
Cheers, buddy. All that's left to say then is good luck to the Cobblers this weekend. Good luck also to NTFC Women. Home game against Sheffield FC this week in the FA Women's National League Division 1 Midlands. That's 2:00 at the Fernabal Stadium, aka Fernie Fields. So come on down to that one as well if you can. Always a great afternoon down there, so do come down and check them out. Cheer on the team as well. We'll be back on Tuesday, as always, with our reaction to both of these weekend's games. All the best to you all for the weekend. Have a good one, and we'll see you then.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.